Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
You may be seated. I bring you greetings. Those watching by line, I bring you greetings in the upper venue. Wonderful people, I bring you greetings. Those of you here in this service. We are still in our Blessed Life series. I will be bringing a conclusion to this segment of our Blessed Life series, which had been more directed toward the finances. We'll be continuing over the next several weeks with the things that we're doing, talking about the Blessed Life theme and other types of categories. Before I get started, there are several reasons that I love the month of February. Here's my first set. One is because it is my mother's birthday tomorrow, and I love my mom. You gotta love your mama. They cook for you. Praise the Lord. It is Pastor Rice's birthday on the 18th. I appreciate him. He's such a standard setter. I told him, I said, look, don't do another movie till I do one. Make me feel like I'm doing something. You know, leave some for the next generation people to do. So he's doing amazing things in the kingdom. I was thinking one of the things we can do, even as his birthday is coming up, one of the things we might consider doing as a church is just going on Amazon and buying his book that's not out yet, like pre-order it. And I thought that would be appropriate to ask you maybe to do or just throw it in your head to do, because Pastor Rice has given our church more books by far than we've ever purchased. And I told him it probably wasn't fair. I said, I'm never going to pay full price. You know that. I want the brother price. It's all on time, you know. But whenever God bless me to write a book, he probably going to turn around and say, you know you're not getting. I want the brother price. So awesome. And then it's the month of love. Love is in the air. Can't you feel it? Somebody said, no, I can't, Pastor Jane. Can you pray for me? Because I don't feel no love nowhere. I don't know who loving me. I need something going on. I saw some single people raise their hand a moment ago, identifying themselves. Give them people some love. For all of you who normally break up with people, February is the breakup month, because they're thinking about that gift that they're obligated to get, and they say, look, we'll break up in February, and then I'll just make up in March. Watch that spirit, like you don't want that guy. Breaks up. For those who are married, and guys, let me help you understand. We usually forget the gift at some point. We have great intentions. You intend to remember. If you haven't purchased the gift by now, you're already behind. If you've not thought exactly what you're going to do by now, you have done something wrong, but you've not acknowledged it. The way you hedge your bet, because you're going to forget something. You're going to get the car without the flowers. You're going to get the flowers and forget she like candy. You're going to get the car, but you ain't going to put no money in it. Like she just wanted your word. She wanted to go shop. And lady said, yes, you know I want to shop. Okay, so brothers, sign up for the marriage weekend. Because if you didn't book a hotel already, they're all booked. That means you don't have nothing to do. You probably need to come to the marriage weekend. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what? That word, you think your marriage is okay. Guess what? This is how you keep it okay. That's how you keep it okay. Finally, I love February, because it is Black History Month, and I discovered again this morning that I am black. I know it was suspect. I know you were wondering. I know sometimes you come in and say, I don't know. But I'm telling you, I am purely black. Don't let the underside fool you. Don't let that happen. Just a little diversity God gave me. and then this back.
I'm so sorry.
But I'm going to be preaching on Wednesday nights. We'll be having special things happen on Wednesday nights to really honor Beckett. But when Carter G. Woodson created these moments, the intent was not for it to be a day or a week or a month. The revelation was that the Black experience or the African experience had been poorly written within history, or only some real negative parts of it. So he wanted it to be integrated into all of history. But because it didn't graduate to that point, it just graduated only to a month. So I'm going to kind of help understand a little history and make it, especially in our diverse church, where people can get past weights off of them. We all can, sometimes in February, when you say it's Black History Month, it's like either a month, but somebody got to feel bad and somebody got to, this is my chance to feel good. I believe that we all need to look at this experience through the eyes of the gospel. And I'm going to really help us do that on Wednesday night. It's going to be great. So I'll be here. You really want to come. It's going to be an awesome experience. But to close the moment, the James Johnson and John Johnson wrote the song on February 12th, 1900, to celebrate it at Abraham Lincoln's birthday. It was originally a poem called Lift Every Voice and Sing. And then later, I believe, 1912 or so, it was dubbed the Negro National Anthem. And it's because sometimes songs that identify the pain and the liberation at the same time bring you up. I'm just giving you that little fact so maybe we can all enjoy it together. So it simply says, if you know it, lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty, and let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Gotta go deep here. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. You start building up. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun, our new day begun. So let us march on till victory is one. Lord, we thank you that you created all people in your image, in your likeness, that from one blood you made every ethnicity of man. I pray that in this month that history can be seen more clearly, that you loved humanity enough to give us our differences, that we might look to you. God, I pray that for those who need healing during this month, they would get it. Those who need clarity and understanding this month, they would get it. Those who come here to be more infused with the ability of what they can do instead of what they can't do, they would get it. So bless us as we get into the word today. Keep us and help us and speak through my mind, think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Lord, we'll bless you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, give God a hand clap of praise. Let's go to work. Deuteronomy 8, starting at the 11th verse, I will bring to a conclusion this segment of the Blessed Life series. Pastor Robert Morris has been doing good for us. I've been chiming in a little bit. I'm going to cap off this portion of it, and then we're going to continue the next several weeks with more Blessed Life things that God has prepared for you. Today, I want to do in this church what Deuteronomy 8:11 says. We're going to read these next few verses. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commands and rules and statutes which I command you today. You and I have the responsibility to pay attention to what God has said in times past, not just the things that benefit you, like saying yes to the Lord and you get eternal life, but the things that may encroach upon some of your freedoms where God is asking you to do certain things, live certain ways, behave in certain ways. Make sure that you don't forget the things that you don't want to do and remember the things that are a benefit to you. Y'all gonna be saying amen today, or it's gonna be like that? It's okay. I got you either way. Come on, you know, we can dance. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built houses and live in them, and your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold, they multiply, and all that you have is multiplied. In other words, you're living the blessed life. You're living the best life. It is not just based here on what you have sown or what you have done. All of the benefits that these particular people are getting have nothing to do with what they could participate with God and get. It's just what God has done. But when you look at what all has got, make sure you don't forget by doing this. Then in your heart, be lifted up and forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and of the house of slavery. Do you still remember what Jesus brought you out of? Do you still remember when you were wrapped up, tangled up in sin, and you had to full on can't help it? You couldn't help going, taking your feet to the wrong place. You couldn't help looking at the wrong thing. You couldn't help touching the wrong things. You couldn't get your mind regulated and right. But God stepped in at a certain time and took all of the oppression away and all of the confusion away. And he began to deliver you from the very oppression that you felt that was making you ensnared and enslaved. Do you remember? Because if you forget this, something about keeping God's commands and ordinance will lose or leave you. Verse 15, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents, its scorpions, the thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of a flint rock. In other words, God took everything that was hard and callous and unrelenting and failed to produce to you the resources that you need to sustain yourself. And he spoke to those things to stay away from you. And he spoke to those things to give you something which you wouldn't think that a rock is designed to give any type of water. But God was able to give you miracle after miracle. Do you forget that your life is a miracle, that you should already be bitten by a scorpion? You should already been taken down by a viper. That there's been enough demonic activity in your life that it is a miracle that you are still alive, that you're still here, that you're not crazy, that you're not insane. Have you ever felt that moment where you said, something's wrong on the inside? I can't get it right. I don't feel right. I don't think it's ever going to change. And it makes you feel down and sometimes depressed and sometimes alone and lonely. And when you're too weak to believe for yourself and God comes in with a person or with his supernatural mighty hand and begins to lift you up. Oh my God. Have you forgotten? James, have you forgotten? Are you starting to think that you're not strong enough, that you're not wise enough, that you're not big enough, that you're not more prosperous enough to do it on your own? James, every time you don't keep my precepts, every time you don't keep my commandments, every time that you don't interest yourself in what I want and you interest yourself in mostly what you want, James, you're forgetting that it was I who put you in your house. It is I who filled up your belly. It is I who gave you something to drink when you were thirsty. And if somehow this becomes a little thing to you, you won't praise him, worship him, or live for him. You'll forget him. Verse 16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna? Manna means, what is it? That's what it means. What is that? Bread from heaven. Has a taste that doesn't come from earth. It fell to the ground in a place where it couldn't be produced. Cooked, ready to eat, bread, for, you know. You let some manna come down right now. I'll be like, y'all, oh my God. Manna. We would talk about that type of phenomenon. Can you imagine if every day you came to the dinner table, it was already set, food was on it, and nobody did the work but God? You would have to start every meal with, Lord, I'd like to thank you. You know how to cook. You're a heavenly cook. I thank you, heavenly cook. Praise him. Okay? That he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Now, the blessing is there to humble you, meaning it came because you could not do these things for yourself. The test, therefore, is, do you now think you can do on your own what you couldn't do prior to God stepping in? I'm allowing my miraculous blessing to be on you to humble you so you understand that with me you can do all things. Without me, you can do nothing of real value, of lasting goodness. It's a test. And we know the only place he talks about you can test me is in returning the tithe to the Lord. Isn't that funny? He says it's a test. Oh, you know, okay, let's contextualize it with the next verse. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my hand have gotten me this wealth. Sometimes the Bible says, what do you and I have that we have not been given? And if we've been given it, why do we boast as if we didn't receive it? That's why I never think it's wrong for people to thank God for everything. Sometimes people say, oh, they're just religious. You know, they're smart. Because in all things, give thanks. But somehow we forget that in all things, giving thanks is appropriate. And now those that give thanks are considered foolish, religious, ignorant, a little beneath, a little extreme, praise happy, too loud, too much. I wish I would have sat in a different seat today. I got next to the happy saint. Oh, their arm just come too far. You got to act like you care. So much work in church. 18. You know why y'all laughing, right? Because you've sat next to that saint. Might be next to him today. Uh-huh. I'm right next to one of them twirlers right now. Got a twirl spirit on them. I hope that they don't be playing music. They'll just go. Go for it. No, I want you to stop. I want you to sit down. Ye shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he. It's he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. He gives us the power. We've got to break loose from this mentality that says God is entitled to some parts of me, some parts of my money, some parts of my time, some parts of my talent. We've got to change and we've got to reverse and say, no, 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 no. God is entitled to everything because all things are his. When you return, for instance, the tithe to the storehouse, which is the church, it blesses the 90, but it doesn't give you ultimate control of it. It just blessed now. How can a steward, because that's what we are, how can a steward upgrade him or herself to an owner? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all them that dwell in it. Now, what does that include? Everything. So when you produce anything, does it belong to me or you? No, yo, you're going to talk back to me. Does it belong to me or you? Does it belong to God?
Yes.
Are we obligated, therefore, to use our time, talent, and treasure exclusively the way he desires? Why do we forget it? The commandments, the precepts. Oh, how I forget them. Oh, how I belittle all of the great things that Jesus has done for me when I'm in that self-centered moment that says, I just want that. I just want to do it that way. And it's my right. I'm a free man. It's my right. Isn't it funny how we want to claim freedom from everything and independence even from God? Let me prove this a different way. Go to Matthew 6:24. Let's contextualize this even further, a different way. I love to hear these pages turning. That's good. Y'all love the Bible. I'm not trying to make those who didn't bring your Bible feel bad. I didn't bring mine either. We're using the computer. No one. Who does that mean? No one. Can serve two masters, bosses. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in money. You cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot. This word money or mammon is used four times only in the Bible by Jesus, three of them. And it's the only reference of its kind where you cannot do this or that. Mammon or money, this mammon that he's speaking of came from an Aramaic word, which was originated from a Babylonian god named Mammon. Mammon means riches. And if you put Babylon or with it, Babylon means confusion. Or it means sow or sown in confusion. So mammon or riches that are not redeemed by God. How do you remember the lesson, two lessons before? How do you redeem it? You return the tenth, and then the rest is blessed. He says, but here's what the spirit of mammon does. It promises you a few things, just like God. Mammon says, if you have money, you can get love. You can buy love. Money says, if you with me, you'll be at peace. You can hire a security team. Money says that you will always be able to do what you want, when you want, however you want. Money says, I'm a better option than God. Money says, you can be your own God. You can set your own rules. How do you know that this confusing spirit exists? Because at the Tower of Babel, when they began to build that tower, they said, we're going to build a tower up to heaven, not to eclipse God, but to just be like him. We just want to be counted in. But like our scripture said, you're going to have to choose. You can't. You got to be hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be one way for you and one way for God. You're either going to devote to one or despise the other. And if you are devoted to just getting yours and controlling yours, that means you'll despise God's way. And the first time you find yourself in lack, instead of going to God, you'll say, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Mammon is a spirit. And every time God tries to access his stewardship of his resource, you, and everything you possess, Mammon speaks. Man, don't do that. They're crazy. They're asking too much. What you know about them people? Who checking them? You know you don't have enough. Look, hold on to all this. And you're going to have enough to take care of yourself. Don't worry about it. Keep your time. If you've been in time at there doing all that service, helping other people, who helping you? Man, use your talents to get what you want. Then once you finally get that in a million years from now, then you can give. I can't tell you the number of people whose pledge was, hey, look, you know, as soon as I make that first million, you know, I'm going to give you, I'm going to give y'all. Then that, first of all, that never happens. Because you have to do what's right first and then be blessed. So you can't choose. So it's just like me. Y'all was mad when y'all saw my jersey. Yo, man, y'all couldn't hardly celebrate the Bethelville 3-year celebration. It was, he got the Denver jersey on. And the reason I have the Denver jersey on, because here's my logic. Peyton played at Tennessee. You always go with the home team. Now, if the Lions was playing, now don't even say nothing. I'm not asking for comments on that. If the Lions were playing one day, yes, that's what I said. I'm automatically going to the Lions. If they're playing the Titans, I go with the Lions because they're my original home team. But if the Titans are playing anybody else in Super Bowl, I go with the Titans. Now, if I don't have those choices, I go with the home team person, which is Peyton. That's what I feel. So that's why I have a Denver jersey on, because I like both teams. But something happened to me. I realized something last Sunday that trumps what I'm saying now. That we had a member, Courtland Finnegan, who's been going here for years, picked up by the Panthers. And another rule happened there. Always go with the person in your own house. So I got to tell you, for all your haters, all the haters, don't hate me now. Don't hate me now. Now, it's a fearful thing when you like both ways, both people, both teams. It's a hard thing sometimes to pick one, but you got to pick one. And when you pick a side, you have to live with it. Now, I had a rationale why I picked that side, but I got to be on that side, and I can't be in the game in them. No, I'm not switch. That's what we're doing to God. We're wearing this jersey, but we're on another team. I can't disrespect a future Hall of Famer like that. I ain't gonna do him like that. You know, he's still Tennessee. He's still somewhere in the family. Now, you can't do that. Where did my time go? It's a time devil. Having fun in church. Go to Luke 16. In this story, I'm going to show you our problem, our solution to our problem when we're solving it, but then I'm going to show you what God's solution is. Luke 16, verse 1. He also said to his disciples, this is Jesus, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. So there's a steward or a manager whose job is to do whatever pleases the owner and take only the portion personally which the owner has ascribed to him or her. Their job is to please the owner. They're just a steward. They're just a manager. He is just us. But he was accused of wasting the master's time, talent, treasure. And I know that it's going to be easy to see this steward through the story and say, look at him. But I'm asking you to perhaps ask yourself, are you and I this manager that's being talked about? Verse 2. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. When you have poor management, stewardship, what you currently have authority over, you can lose it. You can be fired from it. It can be taken from you. There comes a day when the owner is going to say, come here and bring me your books. I don't want you to tell me what you've done. I want to see line by line, to the penny, what you've done. How many know God's a good accountant? You ever get that, like quarterly tax statement from the church, and you look and you like, man, they made a mistake. I gave more than this. Y'all didn't laugh. Y'all didn't get y'all. It's all right. It's all right. Somebody make a note to send statements out. I'm just playing. I know. Verse 3. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. Notice that he's not saying, I'm going to go in there and just get it right. I'm going to go in there and just keep the commands. I'm going to go in there and throw myself on the mercy. No, he's still building Babylon. He still wants to live in confusion. Rather than reconcile with his owner, rather than throw himself on the mercy, to take his lumps, to say, you're right, I was bad with it, he'd rather say, how can I fix it without going to the owner to get it right? Verse 4. I have decided what to do. I have decided. Not what my master or owner said. If something goes wrong, here's what you do. If you forget something in the kingdom, all you do, repentance means a change of mind, a change of direction. You find out you've been thinking wrong and you just turn. This is the requirement. But he won't do it. I've decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, this is I don't plan to change one bit. I don't care what that preacher's talking about. He don't know my situation. He's preaching to other people, not me. God is dealing with the really selfish, not me. People people may receive me in the houses. I am more concerned about my relationship with other human beings, with earthly things, than my eternal relationship with Jesus. And even though I'm gonna live with him forever, I'd rather make everybody else happy here on earth. So here's what we begin to do. We begin to give man's solution. Man's solution. Man's solution. Verse 5. So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he said to the first, "How much you owe, master? Come on in. How much you owe?" Just imagine how slick it's got to be. "Hey, man, what you owe? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on here. Yeah, yeah. Shh, shh, shh. Come on." Verse 7. Then he said to another, no. He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Look, take your bill, sit down quick now, and write it down to 50. Let's take what doesn't belong to you or me. Let's give you a deal. Let me bring you into my sin. And if you and me cooperate, you'll be blessed. I have a good relationship with you. We solved it. We worked it out." That's like, if you've done this, I'm sorry, I don't know, I know who you are. But that's why you can't come up to me in church and make deals. "Well, pastor, I ain't been doing it, but you know, here go my circumstances." Look, I just follow the Bible. I'm not the judge. You don't even have to come to me. "Well, let me explain. That's you and Jesus. If you cool with it, I'm cool with it. There's no pressure here. I'm doing my part. I'm getting the blood off my hand. Self-preservation." No, I'm just playing. Come on. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat." He said to him, "Look, take your bill, write 80. The master then started talking to the steward. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for his sharpness, for his astuteness, for his awareness. He's not commending him for doing a good thing. He's commending the mindset that because he's earthly minded, he's sold out to it. Remember, God appreciates you either being hot or cold. He don't like lukewarm. He's appreciating the fact that this man has decided that he's going to make it by hook or by crook in this world. And he's so committed to it that he's making partnerships and deals like he can. But why should he feel anything else? He's not doing it for the master. He's not doing it for eternity. God said, "Hey, look, it's a good mentality. If you would apply that same mentality to me, I think it's a good one." That's what he's trying to say. "For the sons of this world are shrewd in dealing with their own generation more than the generation of the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends with yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into their eternal dwelling." Make friends with unrighteous mammon. Make friends of people who are still confused by redeeming your resources, your time, your talent, and treasure to reach them. What will you and I do to reach people? So here's God's final solution. Verse 10. "One who is faithful in very little will be faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little would be dishonest in very much." I imagine that steward didn't think shaving off, 20% was a big deal. I can imagine that at times we don't think it's a big deal in a big church to let others do our part. We know that statistically 20% of people do 80% of the work. It's not the statistic here, but we know that we can get in a room of a lot of people and everybody feels like something's taken care of. And verse 11, "If you then have been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, to return it to the Lord, to to get it redeemed, to get it stewarded. Who will entrust to you true riches? True riches, according to Scripture, has always been people. He gave each of them money, and for those who increased, he gave them cities to oversee. Cities are people. If you and I are not good with wealth, we won't get people. We need to be good with our money because God has decided to bless us with hordes of people. The broken, the immigrant, the estranged, the lame, the halt, the blind, the confused, the weary, the sheep without a shepherd, the abused, and the abuser. We are inviting and praying for that group to come, that we might do the kingdom work. And you know, when you're that broken, we need it. The gender confused, we want them. Same-sex attraction, we want them. And we're not going to condone anything, but we're going to love people. We're going to use our resource of a building to love people. Then you don't have to ever like somebody's sin, but you have to love and like the person. You have to. Don't shy away from, I don't want to deal with them. Deal with it. Deal with it. This is what God is calling us to. You don't have rights to yourself. Your gift belongs to those who need it, amen, not you. Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful over that which is another man's, who would give you your own? Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. It ends where Matthew began. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. I was thinking, put my Chinese pastor up there, Pastor Young, if you can put him on the screen. Pastor Young, he's been in prison over half his life. Over half his life. For preaching the gospel. You know, when I was there and I was talking to him, I said, man, you know, it's almost like you would think people would enjoy prison or something. Like, man, you just built. He said, no, I hate prison. In fact, we were in the secret meeting with him, and he said, I don't want to go back. But I'm not going to stop preaching. Everywhere he goes, they're watching him. One moment, the government says it's okay to preach. The next moment, they change on him. This man is probably the greatest evangelist on the planet today. He's led millions and is leading millions to the Lord. Show that next picture. And I had the privilege of not just standing with a minister, but washing their feet. Our time, talent, and treasure is to be given. I want him to greet me when again. I want some Chinese people that I don't know to say, you are a part of the reason I got in. Put my Mexico picture up one time. Yeah, praise God. Last story I tell you, stand to your feet on this last story. If you don't notice, they're high. High as a kite. I was on a mission trip in Mexico. They was walking by, I saw them. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me about their life. And I said, yeah, hey. They say, me no English. I say, you know what I'm saying. Get over here. Sat them down. Preached the gospel to them. They gave their life to the Lord. I spent all day with them. Got the purple books. So amazing how that high just came on off of them. Because I rebuked it. You know, it took me time. It took me money. But I hope they'll welcome me into the kingdom one day. You want your life to count? Scripture says, store up treasure in heaven where no man can steal. True riches is people. There is no other business on the planet besides church where your resource is redeemed and God counts that toward eternity. We'll all stand before him. Ministry team, come down. The thing I don't want you to hear as the spirit of mammon would whisper to you is that our church or God needs your money. He doesn't need it. He just owns it. He doesn't need it. He can take it. If he wants, he can take it. But rest assured, if you don't let him redeem it, it's going to be gone. This is a lot of weeks on a subject that's dominating America. It's greed. It's I have the right to have, the right to get, and I want it, and I want it now. Don't hold me back. Get all you can get. It's greed. Greed caused us to disregard human life. The spirit. But I'm praying in this season that we'll be free from the spirit. God said to me, as my feet landed on the floor, they didn't even land on the floor yet. He said, James, I'm going to break the spirit of poverty off of my people. And I'm going to give them a fresh vision. I'm going to renew their spirit. And I'm going to give them insight to how I think that they might be a greater resource to me in this next season. This is the best time of your life. I'm just asking you to search yourself. There's no extra offering taken. These principles were about us being blessed. Bow your head, close your eyes. Lord, I pray if anyone's here and they need salvation, they will come at the conclusion of the service. If anyone's here and they need deliverance, they need freedom, they need a friend. They just need to tell somebody a testimony. They need to be discipled. They need to get in a church home. Whatever the needs are, Lord, I pray that these in the upper venue, these here in the sanctuary, these walking by line, that they will come to you at the conclusion of the service. So now, Lord, I'm asking that a blessing be on those in the upper venue. I'm asking that a blessing be on the online community. I'm asking that a blessing be here at our 10:30 service. And let us be world changers. Let our hearts be fixed on you and our minds be clear that you're the owner of it all. We have no problems. We have God-given solutions that we're going to say yes to. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. We love you so very much. Whatever your needs are, come on down. We'll see you at the marriage weekend. Men, just go on and sign up. Go online or go out to the lobby to the left, my left. God bless you. You are dismissed.